Well, praise the Lord and God bless each one of you on today. This is Co-Pastor Elmer Hess Sr., the co-pastor, along with Dr. E.R. Hess Jr. at the First Pentecostal Family Worship Center, 4720 Beckley Road in Battle Creek, Michigan. Wherever you are, if you can find a highway, it will be worth the drive to come to Battle Creek, Michigan on this Sunday at 11 a.m. 4720 Beckley Road. We have a sacred sanctuary, and we're asking the Lord to continue to bless and pour out of His Spirit in our sacred sanctuary. This is the Word of Hope for today. I believe I have a powerful Word of Hope for today. Hope you're ready for it. It's going to cause us to think and to look over our lives. Going to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. Here's the beginning of the reading of God's Word. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto Adam, Where art thou? Where art thou? May the Lord bless this word on today. I want to ask you the question in today's vernacular, where you at? Where you at? In Genesis 3 and 19, it says, Where art thou? In 2026, I want to ask, where you at? In Genesis 3 and 9, it's the first direct recorded divine question that God asked in the Holy Scriptures. When you look at the Word of God, the first direct recorded question God asks in the Scriptures from the entire Bible is, Where art thou? Why this matters spiritually is very, very important. This first direct recorded divine question God asked then was not about information. It actually was about introspection. For we must examine ourselves. God wasn't asking Adam for his GPS location. God was asking Adam, Where art thou? In order to confront Adam's spiritual condition, Adam's disobedience, his distance, and his disconnect. That's why God asked Adam, Where art thou? And I'm asking in 2026, or whenever you're hearing this, where you at? This makes Genesis, the third chapter, and verse 9, one of the most important questions in all of the Scriptures. First question, Genesis 3 and 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto Adam, Where art thou? Where you at, Adam? This is the first time in the Bible that God speaks in the form of a question. Before that moment in Genesis 3 and 9, we see where God creates, God commands, God blesses, God forms, God speaks, and God names. But in Genesis 3 and 9, after sin enters the world, God asks the question, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where you at? Why is this the first question? Where art thou? It reveals God's heart. When God asks in today's vernacular, where you at? God is asking, where's your heart at? What condition, what posture is your heart in? God comes looking for Adam. God doesn't abandon Adam after Adam's sin. God doesn't ignore Adam. God pursues Adam. That's who God is. God is the one, He was looking for Adam. He doesn't abandon Adam. He doesn't ignore Adam. But God pursues Adam as He is pursuing us today with the question, where you at? Where art thou? In our current generation, it reveals humanity's condition. God is asking in today's vernacular, where you at? He wants to know, what is your human condition? Adam, when God asked him, Adam was in hiding. He was ashamed. He was afraid. He was covered. He was disconnected. The first question exposes the first sin. The first question reveals the purpose of revival in today's time. Revival is God asking His people again, where you at? Not geographically, but spiritually, where you at? God didn't ask Adam, what did you do? God didn't ask Adam, why did you do it? God didn't ask Adam, who made you do it? The first question God ever asked was, where you at? Because before God deals with our actions, God must deal with our position. I said, before God deals with our actions, whether they be good or evil, God deals with our position. Before God deals with our behavior, God deals with our location. He want to know where you at. Before God deals with our sin, God deals with our distance. God is still asking the question, where you at? God deals with our distance because God knows and understands ahead of time And we should understand ahead of time, if we're going and we're putting distance between our lives and God, after a while, it's going to be sin. So before God deals with our sin, God can sense our distance. How distant are we? We can be sitting right up on the front row in a congregation of 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000. It does not matter the number. You can be sitting up close, up front. God want to know where you're at. God wants to make sure that you're not too distant from his voice. You can be sitting on the front row and be distant in your hearing. You can be sitting on the front row and be distant in your vision. You can be sitting on the front row and be distant in your concern for your soul. God is yet asking the question, where you're at in your walk, where you're at in your worship, where you're at in your witness, where you're at in your willingness. Somebody shout, I'm here, Lord, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. God knows where you are, but he still asked the question, where art thou, when he spoke to Adam. And in 2026, I'm asking you, in today's vernacular, where you at? In Genesis 3 and 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Is the question, this is the question that yet echoes the corners and the chambers of our mind. From the Garden of Eden to wherever you are right at this moment, God has been asking one question that will shake each of our souls. Where you at? Not your physical location, but your spiritual condition. Adam wasn't lost in the trees. Adam was lost within himself. God is asking his people again, where you at? Are you lost within this thing called self? I need to take about 3 months and just teach on this evil condition that is over flooding the world, and it's called self. Only one can sit on the throne. God is the one that has created us. Jesus is the one that God has sent to save us. And when we look, and if we put Jesus off of the throne, the only replacement that can get on that throne is self. And there's no place for two on the throne. So we have to make sure and understand that Adam was not lost in the trees. Adam was lost in him, S-E-L-F, in himself. God is asking his people again, where you at? Where you at in your walk? Where you at in your worship? Where you at in your witness? Where you at in your willingness? Where you at in your repentance? Where you at? We have to stop and answer the question, I'm here, Lord. Now, where is here? Not over here, but where is here? Not your location, but where is here? Where you at in your spiritual walk? Originally, Adam once walked with God. But now, in Genesis 3 and 9, he was hiding from God. He had stopped walking with God, and now we find him in Genesis 3 and 9 hiding from God. He's not with God. He's hiding from God. You don't have to go anywhere to hide from God. You can be right where you've always physically been located, but you're hiding from God. Today, there are some believers that used to walk close. You walked in prayer. You walked in holiness. You walked in obedience. You walked in faithfulness. But now you're walking in circles. The question was asked in the Old Testament, how long are you going to circle this mountain? How long are you going to walk in circles? But now we're walking in circles. We're walking in confusion. We're walking in compromise. Walking in confusion. Walking in compromise. Walking in convenience. God is yet saying, come walk with me once again. Walk with him in the morning. Walk with him in the midnight. Walk with him in the valley. Walk with him. Walk together, children. Don't you get weary. And the first recorded question in scripture is when God asked in Genesis, where you at? It's the closest thing to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And the first question recorded is, where are you? Where you at? The question closest to the middle of the 66 combined books, we find that in Psalm 73. And the most fitting representative question is, why do the wicked prosper? I'm going to stop right there and put a pin. If you really want to know how this 73rd Psalm is in the place where it's at, you have to go back and you have to flip the numbers from 73rd Psalm to 37th psalm. Just flip the numbers from 73 to 37, and you'll find why David, he was asking about the prosperity of the wicked. And the question in the middle of the Bible, the closest to the middle of the 66 books in the Bible, is why do the wicked prosper? And the final question in the Bible is asked by Jesus in Revelation 22 and 20, surely I come quickly, to which the implied question is, will you be ready? That was the implied question. When Jesus said in Revelation 22 and 20, his question that was implied was, will you be ready? Our worship is so important. Adam had once worshiped freely, but in Genesis 3 and 9, he's walking covered. He's walking closed. He's walking concealed. He's hiding. That's unbelievers when the atmosphere is perfect. Only when the music is right. Only when the crowd is loud. Only when the feeling is strong. But revival worship is raw, real, and regardless. Worship when you're hurting. Worship when you're healing. Worship when you're confused. Worship when you're crying. Because worship is not a performance. Worship is a position. It's a position. You take the position, I will worship in spite of. Worship him in the storm. Worship him in the struggle. Worship him in the sorrow. Somebody shout, Lord, I'm ready to worship once again. Where you at? Where you at? Where are you in your warfare? Adam had lost ground because he stopped fighting. Adam let the serpent talk. Adam let the serpent tempt. And Adam let the serpent twist. Some believers today have laid down their weapons. They don't fight temptations. They don't resist the enemy. They don't guard their mind. They don't protect their spirit. But revival requires warriors, not wanderers, but warriors. You got to pick up your sword. I'm going to cut it out for today. You got to pick up your shield. You got to pick up your armor. You got to pick up your authority. Matter of fact, you got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to fight for your family. You got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for your future. Somebody shout, fight. I'm fighting. I'm going to fight until the day I die. Who are you fighting? I'm fighting. I'm resisting the devil. And I'm going to make him to flee. Because the scripture says, if you resist the devil, he will flee. Adam was supposed to lead, but instead he hid. Many believers hide their testimonies, hide their holiness, hide their convictions, hide their identity. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Light doesn't hide. Light shines. It's about what happens after you leave the church. You have to shine in your home. You have to shine on the job. Shine in the city. Somebody shout out, shine. I'm going to close it out here today, but I'm going to ask the question once again. Where you at? Where are you at in your willingness? Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Nobody wanted responsibility. Non-committal believers, I'm going to be talking on this real soon. Non-committal believers want benefits without burden, without faithfulness. They want favor without faithfulness. They want promotion without participation. But God doesn't need our ability. He needs our availability. And we have to say yes to his call, yes to his purpose, yes to his will. Somebody shout out, yes, Lord. Where you at? Where are you? Where are you? That was the question. Thank God for this word on today. I pray that you have been blessed in some form or fashion with this word on today. Where you at? God bless you. Come on out and be with us as soon as you can. God bless.
'Cause I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. What about your name? I'll be somewhere listening. Oh, I'll be somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all excuse me for a minute. I'll be somewhere somewhere listening for my name. I said again, I said I'll be in heaven with my Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be in heaven with my Jesus. I'll be somewhere.
bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll be somewhere. Listen. I'll be somewhere.
I'm saved.
I'll be somewhere.
Thank you.
Listening for my name.
Let's say it again.
Oh, I'll be somewhere.
My God.
I'll be somewhere.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll be
for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.